Thank you. I'd like to ask the children if they would like to come forward. The theme for this summer's all-age services has followed up on the theme of the Sunday school camp in June. How many of the children were at the Sunday school camp? Do you remember what the theme was? Thinking back, Jeremy? You just forgot to take your hand down. Okay. Translating. Translating what? God's word. Translating God's word. Why do people translate God's word? That other people can read it and know what God says. And why should they know what God says?
Because it's important.
Daniel?
So they can go to heaven.
So they can go to heaven. That would mean it's important. It's important to know what God says. And that's why people spend time translating it into many different languages throughout the world. In the all-age services, we've had three themes so far. The Bible is important, so take it with you in your heart. And I compared that with a cell phone. So many people take that, they go back home if they've left their cell phone. The Bible is important, so follow its instructions carefully. That was the one we had the Legos up here that tried to put together. But the comparison was with medicine. Be real careful with the instructions. The Bible is important, so develop a desire for it, more than even your favorite food. And today is the one final session. The Bible is important, so pay attention to its warnings. Now, the Bible warns us about a number of different things. And I'm just going to look at three general warnings today. Many of us hear a sound every morning. What does that mean? Do you hear that? Or anything like that? You probably hear something else like, Jeremy, it's time to get up. An alarm clock. What does that mean when you hear that? Yeah.
Wake up.
Excellent. What happens if you don't? You sleep all day. Oh, that'd be nice. What happens if you sleep all day? What happens if tomorrow? Well, for some of you, I'm not sure if it is in France, but for those in the Swiss schools, what happens if that goes off tomorrow and you just sleep all day? You miss your first day of school. Of course, you might be happy. Did you know that the Bible is like an alarm clock telling us to wake up? Christians can walk around like they were asleep. Sometimes people just walk around, you wonder if they're asleep. What would happen if your mother or father fell asleep when they're driving? Has that ever happened to any of you? Maybe you shouldn't raise your hand. Kathy could confirm that has happened to me back when we were students on the weekend, having had classes all week, worked, gone off on the weekend to an internship in a church, driving back 10 o'clock on Sunday night, the hour drive back from where we were, I'd start nodding. The winter, it wasn't too bad. I'd put the window down with freezing temperatures. That would help. But occasionally it was the side of the road that woke me up. That's not good. That's dangerous. It's dangerous to be asleep when we're supposed to be awake. Now, the Bible warns us to wake up and be alert because we have an enemy. Who's our enemy?
Satan
is our enemy. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be self-controlled and alert. And that word can be also translate wakeful. Be awake. wide awake, alert. Not like you are when you first hear that alarm and you go, do I have to get up? Yeah, some of you are like that. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, do you know some of the methods that Satan uses to attack us? What does he do? He's called the father of lies. I heard that. Oh, okay. He's the father of lies. He lies. He deceives us. He makes us think something is good when it's not. Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that Satan can disguise himself. Evil people can disguise themselves. So such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. You know what a masquerade is? That's sort of like at Foshing when people wear masks. And they go around acting like one thing when they're really something else. It says, no wonder Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. He disguises himself to look like something that's good. It's not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. So the Bible says, if you are sleepy, then wake up. I have another sound. I've got to find it here. If my finger would work. Okay. What would this be? All of you who live in Basel, do you know what that is? Okay, the kids, you know German? No, it's not a clock. It's an alarm for something. Oh, this is one you ought to know. Not fire. I have that one, not on this one, but adults. It's an alarm, but for what? It's some sort of catastrophe. Now, we have it in our town too. In fact, it was a little bit scary when we first moved. You got this packet from the town saying, when you hear this alarm go off, it means there might have been a chemical spill. Close your windows. Get inside. Don't use your telephone because it's got to be kept for emergency. Turn your radio on. And it's actually happened when we've been there. We've heard it. You should once a year in Basel, they send off an alarm for catastrophe to test it. Did they have the alarm when it happened to you in Lurach, Catherine? When that fire went off? What would happen if that alarm went off and you didn't follow what it said? You could die. You could get badly injured. You could get sick. You could get poisoned. If you don't listen to the Bible's warnings that we have an enemy, you could get hurt. If we truly believe there was an enemy, there are certain things we would do. James says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. If we really believe there's an enemy, we're going to run to where it's safe. If you hear that alarm go off, you don't go outside and say, oh, I wonder what's going on. We know some people that act that way. You could get hurt. Instead, you run to where it's safe. Run to God. Paul writes in Ephesians, put on the whole armor of God. A couple years ago, we went through that in the summer. It says, take up the word of God, your sword. That's what Jesus did when Satan came to tempt him. He came back with the word of God. But God's word says, and responded with the word of God. John writes in his letter, test the spirits. Peter says, know the marks of false teachers. Now, sometimes we see warning signs, too. I brought some with me. Okay. What's that a warning sign of? Poison. Good. Here's another one. Daniel? Radioactivity. Good. This is one we're more likely to have trouble with. Tripping over something. I know some of you have tripped here. So I won't even ask which one of you have tripped. The Bible warns us against sin. And did you know that sin is like a lot of these signs here? The dangers that they were told about? Our words can be like poison. Paul writes in Ephesians, "Do not let any unwholesome or rotting words come out of your mouth." You know, rotting food can poison you. But only that which is helpful for building up others according to their needs. Paul quotes in Romans from the Old Testament. He says, "Their mouths are open graves, their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness." I like to liken gossip to radioactivity. Whether you share gossip or listen to gossip, it's like something radioactive. Goes right through you. Goes down to the very center of your heart. Proverbs 18 says, "The words of a gossip are like choice morsels, little bits of food that you really like. They go down to the man's inmost parts." Then gossip begins to poison the person. Makes them think wrongly about other people. If you listen to gossip, it just sticks in your mind. And the Bible says, watch out! Don't listen to gossip. Don't share gossip. We find this one in the Bible too. Sometimes we sin by causing others to trip. And the Bible says, watch out, don't be tripped up, and don't trip others. We might make them do something which they shouldn't do. Now, your parents will have different things that they allow you to do or things that they don't allow you to do. For example, some of you, probably most of you, after school, are you supposed to come right home? Or are you allowed to stop and play on the way? How many of you are supposed to come right home from school? Now, be honest. How many of you are supposed to come right home from school? Okay, I see some hands. How many of you are allowed, well, maybe it takes an extra half hour. Is that a possibility? Maybe. Well, suppose you were going home and your friends, you know your friend is supposed to be home right away. And you say, oh, come on, we can stop here at the playground and play a little soccer or football. It'll only be a half hour. Now, you might be allowed to, but if your friend's not, what are you doing? You're causing them to trip. You're making them sin. It might be okay for you to stay there, but if it's not for them, and you're causing them to sin. The Bible says don't do that. Don't cause other people to trip up. It warns us against that. If we truly believe that sin was dangerous, what would we do? How would we pay attention to the warning signs against sin? What are some things we could do? Do you know? Adults? How do we guard our mouths? What's something we can do? We start by praying. Psalm 141, the prayer to God, "Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips." We have to recognize we have a problem with what we say and ask God to help. Put God's word in our heart. We've looked at that one already. The very first one, you take it with you in your heart. Why? I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. We can obey God's word then and run away from the danger. Don't play with poison. Don't play with sin. If you found a bottle and on it was a sign like this, and you were really thirsty, would you say, well, just this time, I'll try it. I'm so thirsty. Well, it probably would just be this time. You may not have an opportunity to do it again. You know, so many people do the same thing with sin in their life. The Bible says this is poison. It's going to hurt you. Don't do it. And they say, oh, I'm going to pray about it. And maybe God will make an exception just this time. He's already told you. He's put a label on that and said, this is poison. Don't do it. And you go, oh, well, God, just maybe this time can I do this? Uh-uh. He doesn't want you to act that way. We should neither play with poison in life nor with sin, thinking we can get away with it. One final warning I want to mention. If we follow a path of sin, the Bible warns us that there is judgment coming. Now, if you were in a building and it was on and a fire alarm went off, which sign would you want to follow? This one. Wow. But this is such pretty red. Wouldn't you like to follow this one? No. Why would you need to follow this one? You want to get out of the building as quickly as possible. And this tells you it's the way out. There's a door here, but it's saying there's no way out. You're just going to be locked in that building with the fire. The Bible says there are only two roads which we can take in life. There are only two doors or gates. One that leads to life and one that leads to death or destruction. It is a door. You can follow through it, but you're not going to escape destruction. Matthew 7 says, enter through the narrow gate, for the wide is the gate, broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. The narrow gate, the small road, are found in Jesus Christ. He's the way. You want to avoid destruction, the judgment of sin, he's the escape. You follow him. If we ignore the Bible's warnings, it's like following a sign like this. Well, I don't really need to follow that other sign. I like this door. It's so nice and big. So many people can fit through it. It'll be much easier to get out this way because look how wide it is. And we heard this morning from Hebrews, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. The message spoken by angels was binding. Every violation and disobedience received its just punishment. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? If we truly believe this warning, there are certain things we would do. One, don't believe people saying that everyone is heading to life. Now you'll hear this, you might hear this in school, in religion class even. People telling you, well, every way leads to God. No, that is not true. The Bible says there's one way to escape destruction. There's only one way that leads to life. Every other way is a dead end that doesn't get you out of that destruction. Don't believe them when they say that. Second, don't go with the crowds. Just because everybody is doing something, don't believe that it's true. It says few find the true way. There are some that might not even believe that there is life after death. But they too are on a road that's heading to destruction. There's no escape for them. If we believe the Bible is important, then we will listen to its warnings. We'll do exactly what you said at the beginning, Sam. We'll wake up. That's what the Bible says. Like an alarm clock going on. Wake up, there's an enemy who's trying to trick you. Watch out. Sin is dangerous. We'll believe the warnings that we read. It's poison. Watch what you say. Don't be tripped up and don't trip others up. Don't play with poison. Look out where you're heading. There is only one way to life, and that's in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have given us your word. And because it's your word, it's very important. Father, I pray that you would help each of us, whether old or young, to pay attention to the warnings you give us. If we really believe your word is important, we're going to listen to the warnings. We're going to take them seriously. Father, I pray for any here who have not found that narrow gate and the narrow way, that they would understand that there is a way to life in Jesus Christ, and they would find him, he who is the way, the truth, and the life. I pray for each of the children that they would understand this, and they would grow in that understanding and take a path that leads them throughout this life to eternal life. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You kids can head on back to your parents and sit with them. And parents, as a follow-up, as I've done in the past ones, I'll give you a few suggestions. You may make it a practice, a helpful practice, to help your children identify warning signs and signals. Point things out to them that they might miss. Now, there's some things it's really easy to miss, like the little warning about the tram. If you've ever driven around the Wettsteinplatz, the little signs warning you that the tram has the right-of-way, they're little bitty signs way up. And as I'm waiting there for the bus, I frequently see people that miss that sign. And, of course, the tram drivers never like that, and they ring their bell, and the people stop, and they look shook up. They need someone to point out warning signs. Do it in life. Point out warning signs, and use it as an opportunity to point out the warning signs from the Bible. Talk about things that the Bible warns against. If you remember, we looked at Deuteronomy a couple weeks ago. Talks about speaking of these commands when you get up, when you lay down, when you're in the house, when you're out in the road. Take opportunities to talk about the warning signs in the Bible so that we all learn to take it seriously.